The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 1 a.m. September 5th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show!
But under Islam, they'll execute you for abortion. One of the only good things in Islam.
That was Alex Jones, conspiracy theorist, information terrorist, Christian dominionist, and Trump buddy. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly. He's doing it. He's ending DACA.
What a heartless, spineless piece of crap.
As Bernie said in a tweet, quote, "If Trump decides to end DACA, it will be one of the ugliest and cruelest decisions ever made by a president in our modern history, taking legal protections away from 800,000 young people raised in this country is absolutely counter to what we stand for as a nation," unquote. Hillary Clinton tweeted that there was, quote, "no time to waste. We have to fight with everything we've got to defend DACA," unquote. Rumor has it the hopeless coward will allow a six-month delay in action regarding the DACA program. This would be intended to grant Congress time to pass a fix through legislation that would mitigate the effects of the rollback and potentially let the nearly 800,000 undocumented immigrants working and studying in the U.S. stay. By the time you are listening to this show, we probably know how this exact announcement goes. Regardless of how it turns out, call your senator and call your representative and let them know that you support legislation to protect the Dreamers. And you demand it now. Did you guys catch the letter that President Barack Obama wrote to Donald? It was great. Simple, short, like maybe half a page. Most notable was this paragraph. Quote, "We are just temporary occupants of this office. That makes us guardians of those democratic institutions and traditions, like the rule of law, separation of powers, equal protection, and civil liberties that our forebears fought and bled for. Regardless of the push and pull of daily politics, it is up to us to leave those instruments of our democracy at least as strong as we found them." Unquote. That makes us guardians of the democratic institutions and traditions, like the rule of law, separation of powers, equal protections, and civil liberties. I guess Donald didn't listen. Kind of funny is that the scholar that is Donald had previously gushed about the letter in an interview with ABC News shortly after taking the office. He called Obama's letter beautiful. And so well written. I doubt too many of them were written in this manner.
It was long, it was complex, it was thoughtful, and it took time to do it, and I appreciated it.
No, it wasn't, you ignoramus. It was an excellent letter, but it was neither complex nor long. Idiot. Okay, real quick, I have a bill I want to highlight. H.R. 468. This bill would hold the owners and operators of oil production facilities liable for oil spills that originate outside of the U.S. exclusive economic zone, but cause damage inside those boundaries. Under current law, entities can only be held responsible for oil spills that occur inside of U.S. waters and are liable for cleanup and cost, damages, and penalties. Revenue obtained through the collection of penalties would go to the Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund. Currently, the trust pays up to $150 million for post-spill cleanup and up to $850 million for resulting claims and damages, leaving taxpayers in the affected states to pay for damages exceeding $1 billion. Yes! Yes! I am tired of this privatize the profits, socialize the losses crap that this country is so fond of. Owners and operators of companies responsible for oil spills should be liable for the damage they cause, even if the spill originates in foreign waters. This is a common sense fix that takes taxpayers off the hook for recovery cost.
We've got the best people.
I know the best people. I know the best managers. I know the best deal makers.
I have the most dedicated people. I have the best people.
So Donald is nothing if not reliable. and has once again made a sarcastic appointment to our government, and we will be forced to pay this man's salary to do the opposite of his job description. Donald's administration has tapped Julian Schmoke, a former DeVry.edu university administrator, to lead the education department student aid enforcement unit. DeVry recently settled several claims brought against it by regulators alleging that it had engaged in some of the very abuses that the unit will be charged with eliminating. Schmoke, who recently oversaw campus operations at a community college in Georgia, will be in charge of addressing allegations of illegal activities such as fraud by higher education institutions. DeVry, a for-profit college, has faced allegations that it was using deceptive recruitment tactics, misleading students about their career prospects, and distorting data provided to the federal government. The institution's parent company arrived at settlements with several government entities, including New York Attorney General earlier this year, and the Federal Trade Commission in late 2016, the latter of which amounted to $100 million.
Not unlike Trump University.
The enforcement unit was formed by the Obama administration in February 2016 in an effort to more efficiently and effectively respond to the types of allegations DeVry was faced, including claims from students requesting that their loans be discharged through what is known as the borrower defense. So this dude will be policing colleges for doing exactly what he and his former college got in trouble for doing.
We are living in the upside down.
This is what democracy looks like.
How is everyone out there in resistance world? Experienced resistance fatigue yet? I have, for sure. More and more, I come to this show and I stare bleary-eyed at my computer screen, pulling at the dregs of my inspirational well, hoping to stumble upon something, anything, in my searches that can refill my reserves. Sometimes I get lucky, and sometimes I don't. For now, it seems my anger is my primary fuel. The outrage at certain acts and the horror of so many injustices. Sometimes it's small. I resist because regulations are protections, and 10 days before Hurricane Harvey, Trump revoked the federal flood risk management standard, an Obama-era set of regulations designed to make federally funded infrastructure less vulnerable to flooding. Or it's big. I resist because of the Christian right.
Kim Clement, before he died, he prophesied, they will be screaming impeachment, impeachment, but it
You're
will not
kidding.
Happen. That's true. Kim Clement prophesied.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll predict. If it happens, there will be a civil war in the United States of America. The Christians will finally come out of the shadows because we are going to be shut up permanently if we're not careful. And God says faith without works is dead.
That's right.
We have to do things. God has been dealing with me, and I don't know about you.
Yes.
It's time for preachers like you, you're doing it, to stand up
yes.
and shout out.
Yes.
That was Jim Baker.
There is not a war on Christians.
Christians are on the money, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. They're on the money. Christians are doing fine. I resist because Reuters reports that since Charlottesville, the sale of Confederate flags is booming. I resist because Iraqi nationals are being abused for resisting. The ACLU is deeply concerned about reports of abuse and retaliation by ICE against their clients because of their participation in a nationwide class action suit which seeks to stop the immediate deportation of Iraqi nationals in the United States. If they are sent back, they will likely be tortured and killed for simply being associated with the United States. And for their resistance, ICE is denying them food and subjecting them to other cruelties, psychological and otherwise. These individuals who fear persecution on Iraq because of their religion and connection to America are now being persecuted by agents of the United States government. This is America, and we have a government-funded, unchecked militia abusing and endangering people. I resist because federal immigration authorities left about 50 immigrant women and children, most of them asylum seekers from Central America, stranded at a downtown San Antonio bus station after service was canceled Friday as Hurricane Harvey bore down on Texas. They had no cell phones, no money. They didn't speak English. I resist because I am inspired by those that helped these women and children. Those who were left there waiting with nothing were helped by the goodness of neighbors and the leadership of the Interfaith Welcome Coalition. A local church took in the women and children in the city. I resist because a decorated veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps who served in the Persian Gulf War was transferred to an immigration detention facility in Eloy, Arizona late last week, where he faces deportation to Mexico, despite evidence that he is a United States citizen. In fact, a federal judge has already ruled Jorge Ibarra is a citizen. Even so, federal authorities have continued to work to deport him. I resist for women's rights. We don't have a government fighting for women's rights here, let alone abroad. As Bustle reports, Secretary of State T-Rex Tillerson revealed that the administration is willing to make peace negotiations with the Taliban. Namely, women's rights won't be demanded in Taliban negotiations going forward, a shift from the demands that were made by President Obama's administration. I resist because victims of sexual abuse deserve justice, not an administration that removes the list of 250 schools under investigation by the Obama administration for violating Title IX mishandling of campus sexual assault, ushering in the end of enforcement and accountability. And then, Donald ended an Obama-era rule which required companies to collect pay data for workers of different genders, races, and ethnic groups. This move was sanctioned by faux feminist Princess Ivanka.
Privileged, selfish woman.
I resist because the resistance must be loud and dare to laugh in the face of absurdity, as Desiree Ferruz did in Jefferson Beauregard Sessions' confirmation hearing. She laughed when she heard this.
Jeff Sessions' extensive record of treating all Americans equally under the law is clear and well documented. Throughout his decades of public service.
A laughable statement indeed. Well, Ferruz rejected the deal offered by prosecutors that would have required her to plead guilty in exchange for recommended sentence of time served. The jury convicted her, but the judge threw out the conviction because it is absurd on his face. Ever dogged, the punitive DOJ and Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, who has his panties in a wad about the whole situation, is going to retry her and waste taxpayers' dollars for laughing. I resist because we're supposed to be a democracy. And yet the New York Times reported on voting irregularities in the 2016 election. Voters were being told they were ineligible to vote or turned away from polls or sent to another polling place in several blue counties and swing states. I resist because little digital forensic investigation has been done to examine the impact of at least 21 states whose election systems were targeted by Russia. I resist because academic and private election security experts warn future elections, including next year's midterms, could be subject to hacking since nothing has been done to improve or build an effective defense. I resist because this is America. Yet Moyers and Company reported pro-Russian bots have been taking up right-wing causes after Charlottesville. A case study was done and their impact on the narrative on Berkeley. Bloomberg reported that the growing sophistication of pro-Russian bots, which are already taking a role in sowing seeds of discord in the U.S. and taking on Trump critics like McCain. And experts say that the Russian bots never left after the 2016 election and are sharpening their attacks for upcoming elections in 2018 and 2020. The bots are learning to mimic human behavior. I resist because my taxes pay for a swamped government. ProPublica reported that while Donald continues to leave open executive branch positions, which require Senate confirmation, he has quietly installed more than 1,000 political staffers. Many of these hires are regulating industries they used to work in. Most names are kept secret. These employees working in the shadows face much less scrutiny and answer to no one but the White House. For my resistance, I stand with the UN as the UN Human Rights Chief Zeid Ra'ad Al Hussein slammed Trump's attacks on the media, warning Donald's rhetoric could provoke violence. Who also raised concern about Donald's, quote, worrying remarks about women, Mexicans, and Muslims on issues like immigration. We have no choice but to resist when each year is hotter than the year before, and unprecedented weather takes lives all over the world. 75 active wildfires right now. And San Francisco hit an all-time record high of 106 the other day. The resistance must continue as the rise of the fascist right grows ever more sophisticated.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
There's a new, terrifying development in the interwebs. The neo-Nazi hordes are trying to create a safe space for themselves as they get booted from more and more public spaces. They are creating their own. The social network Gab.ai.
Gab.ai. Basically, it is the alt-right's social media platform where users can engage in freedom of speech and allows these users to also self-censor.
Started in August 2016, 3 months before the world changed. The timing was not a coincidence. Founded in San Mateo, California, by one-time Silicon Valley-based Trump supporter Andrew Torba, a former ad tech CEO, the network was initially built by just four people with no outside investment. Torba, who was once kicked out of the influential startup accelerator Y Combinator for violating its harassment policy, had grown frustrated for what he described to BuzzFeed as the entirely left-leaning big social monopoly that decided what news deserved to be trending and what did and did not count as harassment on the internet. Terrifyingly, now, a year later, Gab has more than 240,000 users and has raised $1 million via crowdfunding, which it celebrated with the middle finger tweet to, quote, Silicon Valley elitist trash, unquote.
He has given voice to their websites that used to only have 11,000 people, now have 11 million.
Gab is building off the work of a number of existing alternative web services hailing from the far right. Pat Dickinson, the former chief of technology officer from Business Insider, who left the company after Gawker revealed his racist and rape joke-filled Twitter account, has started his own alt-right crowdfunding platform called Counterfund. There's also a free speech-centric Patreon alternative, which states in its guidelines that hate speech is protected speech. There's an alt-right-friendly version of Wikipedia called Metapedia. There's even a small alt-right dating website, Wasp Love, with the tagline, "Preserve your heritage, be fruitful, and multiply. Join Wasp Love today." Though these services are platforms for people who traffic in hate speech, they're different from the message boards and forums of Stormfront and Gab, where white supremacist and anti-Semitic ideas are discussed and incubated, and where perpetrators of hate crimes like Dylan Roof and Anders Breivik find encouragement and become indoctrinated. The reality is disturbing. The trends are real and the effects are harmful. The resistance holds the line, even as their numbers seem to grow, and the distinctions between us and them are crystallizing in razor clarity. The resistance stands firm, not in apology of compassion, empathy, and generosity, but armed with them, dug in, and pissed off.
Stand up, fight back!
I want to get back to why I resist because of the religious right. Like something out of a dystopian nightmare, the religious right has meticulously maneuvered its way into our politics, into the bloodline of America like an infection, weakening the foundations and slowing her progress. The religious right has driven policy every year more and more since Saint Reagan flung open the doors of politics to religion, raising Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson to the upper echelons of government, giving them an unconstitutional religious authority over our laws, over women, minorities, and LGBTQ Americans alike. Reagan's move set progress back in America dramatically, and the decline has continued over the years, only to accelerate of late. Separation of church and state was one of the foundations that this country was built on, yet our government openly flaunts its Christian ideology fanatically. National Prayer Days? Donald racked up a higher percentage of white evangelical voters than either Romney or Bush, an astounding 81% to Clinton's 16%. He also did much better than anticipated among white Catholics, 60% to 37%. Our president has already moved to restrict abortion, defund Planned Parenthood, permit discrimination against LGBTQ people in the name of religious liberty, and allow churches to become active in politics by gutting the Johnson Amendment, which states that tax-exempt organizations are absolutely prohibited from directly or indirectly participating in or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or opposition to any candidate for effective public office. Along with his nominations of judges championed by the far-right Federalist Society and his call for a ban on Muslim immigrants have all endeared him to the Christian right. He's rolled back civil rights legislation and business and environmental regulations. He has elevated several stalwarts of the Christian right to power, ideologue Mike Pence to vice president, Jefferson Bogard Sessions to the Justice Department, the Great White Hope, Neil Gorsuch, to the stolen Supreme Court seat, and of course, there's the religious fanatic, Betsy Bible-Banging DeVos, to the Department of Education. Tom Price, to Health and Human Services. And we can never forget presidential candidate himself, Ben Carson, to Housing and Urban Development. Donald embraces white supremacist bigotry, American chauvinism, greed, religious intolerance, anger, and racism, all tenets of the Christian right. Chris Hedges wrote an article in Common Dreams that makes the point that Donald's penchant for conspiracy, fantastical imagination, and disdain for facts mesh well with the worldview of the Christian right, which sees itself as under attack by satanic forces of secular humanism embodied in the media, academia, and liberal establishment, Hollywood, and the Democratic Party. Oh my! In this worldview, climate change is not real. Barack Obama is a Muslim. And millions of people voted illegally in the 2016 election. Every week, evangelicals go to the White House to bend the president's ear, pray over him, interview him, and continue to gain greater and greater influence as he becomes more and more isolated.
They revolt against the Lord and his anointed. I think somehow the Lord's plan is being put in place for America, and these people are not only revolting against Trump, they're revolting against what God's plan is for America. These other people have been trying to destroy America. These left-wingers and so-called progressives are trying to destroy the country that we love and take away the freedoms they love. They want collectivism. They want socialism.
Pat Robertson, evangelical televangelist, who, fun fact, used to own a diamond mine. These people are as much a threat to our democracy as they are to minorities, women, equality, and progress. The personal piety of most of the ministers who led the Christian right is a facade. Their private lives are usually marked by hedonistic squalor that includes mansions, private jets, limousines, retinues of bodyguards, personal assistants, servants, shopping sprees, lavish vacations, and sexual escapades that rivals those carried out by Donald. And because they run churches, in most cases, the church funds to pay for their tax-free empires, including their extravagant lifestyles. And they also engage in the kind of nepotism you find in the Trump Organization, elevating family members to prominent or highly paid positions and passing on the business to their children. Hedges wrote a book on the Christian right in 2007 called American Fascist, The Christian Right and the War on America. He explained that he did not use the word fascist lightly. He spent several hours at the end of 2 years reporting with two of the country's foremost scholars on fascism, Fritz Stern and Robert O. Paxton. He explains that over the last century, the emphasis on personal piety that defines the old evangelical movement, the call to avoid the contamination of politics, has been replaced by Christian Reconstructionism, called Dominionism by some. This new ideology is about taking control of all institutions, including the government, to build a Christian nation. God gives the elect, just as he gave Adam and Noah dominion over the earth to build a Christian society. their state will come about with the new physical eradication of the forces of
Satan.
It is the duty of the church and the elect to rescue the world so that Christ can return. Quote, this is an ideology of death. It promises that the secular humanist society will be physically destroyed. The Ten Commandments will be the basis of our legal system. Creationism or intelligent design will be taught in public schools. People who are considered social deviants, including homosexuals, immigrants, secular humanists, feminists, Jews, Muslims, criminals, and those dismissed as nominal Christians, meaning Christians who do not embrace the Christian rites, perverted and heretical interpretation of the Bible, will be silenced, imprisoned, or killed. The role of the federal government will be reduced to protecting property rights, homeland security, and waging war. Church organizations will be funded and empowered by the government and run social welfare agencies. The poor, condemned for sloth, indolence, and sinfulness, will be denied government assistance. The death penalty will be expanded to include mortal crimes, including apostasy, blasphemy, sodomy, and witchcraft, of course, as well as abortion, which will be treated as murder. Women will be subordinate to men. Those who practice other faiths will become, at best, second-class citizens and eventually outcasts. The wars in the Middle East will be defined as religious crusades against Muslims. There will be no separation of church and state. The only legitimate voices will be Christian. America will become an agent of God, and those who defy the Christian authorities will be branded as agents of Satan. Unquote.
Told you, sounds like a dystopian nightmare.
Hundreds of thousands of Americans subscribe to this twisted and bizarre punitive ideology of death. They ingest this propaganda morning till night and dream its doctrine both in feverish ecstasy and fear. Desperate masses, grasping for the voice of God to tell them that it is not your fault. It is the other. It is the other who is wrong. It is the other who has hurt your lot in life. The poor, the immigrant, the homosexual is the reason your wife left you, your son is on drugs, or you lost your job. You are a victim. The other will be punished. Just you wait. You will reap your reward. Fire for them and glory of heaven for you. These people, these desperate people, will always be a part of our country so long as there is poverty and a country who de-emphasizes education. A country with a president who creates national prayer days and who has an evangelical council and who legislates according to their law instead of the United States laws. Fascism is defined as a political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as the fascisti, that exalts nation and often race above individual, and that stands for centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. These believers are fascist. And like all fascists, they detest the reality-based world. They condemn it as contaminated, decayed, and immoral. Hedges finishes his piece with this, quote, let us give all Americans a reality-based hope for the future. Time is running out. If we do not act, American fascists clutching Christian crosses, waving American flags, and orchestrating mass resuscitations of the Pledge of Allegiance united behind the ludicrous figure of Donald Trump will ride this rage to power. Unquote.
And so say we all.
Thank you for listening. You can find my show on crabdiving.com. That's one word, crabdiving.com, under the Cave Voice tab. Or you can download my show as a podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast. You can also find my show on Citizen Truth at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and of course on Facebook at Cave Voice of Resistance. All right. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.